Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 206
of Creekside. We've made it all the way into the first week of the year.
This is our second episode of 2017.
Yeah, but we've got a full week behind us.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That week is recorded and in history, and yes, we're still here.
We survived. We delivered the Owl Creek Gazette, which, by the way, for people tuning in for the first time, Creekside with Don and Jan is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Yes, say it early, mm-hmm. Say it often. That way we won't have to forget it and say it later.
Well, and something we were just telling some folks, the idea of the podcast evolved out of us wanting to stay in touch with our Owl Creek Gazette readers. And since we publish month to month, that there was those weeks in between, so much was taking place, and we thought, why not share that too? So here we are.
It's amazing what we wind up doing on occasion.
Yes. Some things we talk about, some things we don't.
Today we made PayPal buttons for the website and got that stuff up.
We did it, and that's exciting too. This is our fourth year of having a spring event. It started out as an expo. It moved to an exposium, and now it's a home show. We always tweak it every year.
It almost became home showsium.
It did, from exposium to home showsium. And the idea behind all those events are that we have a self-reliant and sustainability expo or home show that people can come to and learn from our speakers, our demonstrators, our vendors, and all that information is in the January issue, too. And now you can actually buy a ticket for the event or become a vendor on the event right on the website.
OwlCreekGazette.com.
There you go. Anyway, we have a special guest tonight on Creekside. If you want to tell our listening audience a little bit about him.
I guess I'd put my glasses down now. Huh?
That always helps, yes.
Well, she's going to make me read, folks. Well, our guest today is Rick McPeak. Mm-hmm. And Rick has been around town now for quite a number of years, and he's made an impact on our lives, and we told you last week that our digs here were at his special invitation, so mm-hmm. we are honored. So we're exchanging in kind here and getting the word out. Knowing Rick was a semi-retired instructor at Greenville College, I took a few minutes to see what they had to say about him. Rick McPeak is Emeritus Professor of Philosophy and Theology. Reverend McPeak held the position of youth pastor at the Greenville Free Methodist Church for 7 years. He was the senior pastor at Lakeview Free Methodist Church in Seattle, Washington. He is an administrative pastor of St. Paul's Free Methodist Church Fellowship here in Greenville. And in addition, Reverend McPeak is an artist and displayed his work in 1999 entitled Eastern Pilgrimage. His show featured an installation of 13 works of mixed media collages made of contemporary icons and pages of biblical text. That was all straightforward and factual. Then the other day,
you did some research, Don.
I did some research. The Rick McPeak that I got to know more before the facts, he lights up like a Christmas tree at the mention of his grandkids. Well, you got to.
Yeah.
He's learning to play guitar. You love history. He loves community. And shares those passions with anyone that asks. And today we'll find out what else he knows.
So. Well, and something else that our listeners will appreciate knowing if they don't already know is that you and your family have taken on the Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House business, right, and are really jumping full force into that. So anyway, welcome to the show, Rick.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And just to get us kicked off here, I want to say once again publicly, thank you for this beautiful facility.
Well, and it's my honor on behalf of Don Jones, really, who is the driving force behind this project here on the square. Don is He's a graduate of Greenville College. He's in his 80s now. And Don has given numerous buildings to the college and to other places, other ministries, typically churches, etc. But Don has a really great understanding of how buildings operate, and that if you give somebody a building, it's going to force them to improvise. And so I've been improvising with Don now for several years, starting with a building on the college, which was the Bastion Center for Philosophy and Theology. It's the old McCracken-Dottie clinic what it was first, then Bond County Family Services used it,
mm-hmm.
and then it was empty for a while. And then when Don donated that, we, as a back then we were the religion department. It wasn't something we were looking for. We inherited it, and it wasn't exactly what we wanted, and there wasn't the resources to have somebody else do it the way we wanted. So we, as the department, said, "Hey, will you let us do something?" And graciously, the college said, "Sure." And that's how I got to know Don. I got a call from Don one day. He said, "Hey, I hear you like to work on buildings."
And that was the end of that. And so,
well, and when you and I were talking, we were all looking at the building, and I said to you when you were talking about Don Jones, I looked over to you and I said, "That's my dad's name."
Yes.
So that was a neat, serendipitous moment when we looked at that, too. So, and for folks that are tuning in that may not have heard last week's episode, this is on the corner of Main and Second Street, this building, and it kind of oozes on over up the up the square.
We're the door at 104.
And so it was many things over the years, and now it's kind of in your hands, and people are, like you say, you and Don Jones are working on this to make it community friendly. So if you want to give an idea of, you know, some of the things you see happening here already and mm-hmm. some of the things you hope to see, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, again, thanks for the opportunity to be here. When somebody like Don Jones says to a group, "Hey, how about I give you another building?" Somebody has to kind of get together, get a group of people together, and how do you say yes or no mm-hmm. to something like that? And here, this is the old Masonic building. Three stories plus a basement, nearly 4,000 square feet on each floor. Who in their right mind even considers that?
That's four houses.
Yeah, four large houses.
Four large houses, right.
And Don's good friend is former president of Greenville College, W. Richard Stevens, who also is in his 80s. And Rich and I have become dear friends over the years. And I came as the youth pastor, as you said, to the for the Free Methodist Church, where Kelly, his youngest child, was in high school at that time. We got to know each other over the years, and so Rich, based on the fact that St. Paul's, where you said I'm the administrative pastor, anybody that knows would probably smirk a little at that. I'm called a senior pastor. Administration is not really my thing.
Okay.
But communication, friendship, those things. And I love to start new things and be involved in new things. So when we planted that church now over 20 years ago, you have to do things differently than traditionally. So out of the box is what you folks use. And I love that. And Don, we'll talk about that. Don Jones likes to talk about doing things out. He's an out-of-the-box thinker, and I love that. I love that about him. But it's really a challenge to stay on the same page with people who are out of the box. I'm out of the box. Don's out of the box. You know, Rich keeps trying to get us back into a box that
You just keep drawing a bigger box.
Yeah, you know, and that is true. And learning how all things are connected. And so I've been teaching a capstone theology course in ministry and theology for a number of years called Method in Theology. What are you doing when you're making statements about God or ministry or something? And then you look at how you're operating, And I discovered a book written by Samuel Wells, who was then dean of the chapel at Duke. It's called Improvisation, The Drama of Christian Ethics. And it was just the perfect book for describing what is going on, really, when one is trying to do ministry. We think it's all planned out. We think our lives are planned out. But really, we're all in an improvisation.
Well, what's the old comment? If you want to watch God laugh, make plans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But we've all been fighting that for years. And colleges are maybe the worst place to do that because you're always writing a syllabus. I used to put at the bottom of every page of my syllabus, or maybe not. And I learned that from somebody. I'm not allowed to do that anymore. Probably for the last 6 or 7 years. And I think that struggling with some of that, that idea that, oh, yeah, you can write an outcome. And you can write an outcome, but can you really achieve it? And is that the right thing to measure? Has forced me to really look again at, okay, what is it that I'm trying to measure? And you have to become a little more abstract. And I think that for me, what I came to was just human thriving. I think that's really what I measure. That's the outcome that I'm looking for in all of my interactions, starting with myself, my wife, my children, my students, you folks. What do we do in a concrete way that assists and nurtures human thriving? And that's as varied as every person. So for me, things like discovering Gallup's Strengths Finder or personality tests or anything like that that gives an insight into individuals, that really lights me up. And when I watch a student start to thrive, or particularly a family member or a granddaughter, anything, you know, when we see that, and there's kind of an old saying, well, I don't really know what that is, but I can recognize it when it's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so learning to say yes to things that you would normally say, are you out of your mind, to led me to say to Rich and Don, yeah, let's play with that idea of a building. And, of course, Don couldn't just turn around and buy it and give it to anyone, because we look at, well, how much is it going to cost to do this or do mm-hmm. that? And so Don has really carried the weight of this financially to make this place accessible, because you've got to bring it up to speed. And I love that about, handicapped accessibility. We have an ADA because people have been left out. I have a sister who has cerebral palsy, so I'm thrilled that the city is going to say, no, you're going to do something, then everybody has to have access. And like I told you the other day, Don, I think I'm becoming an expert in international fire code, because you're always looking at, okay, what do we have to do? And I didn't sign up to learn anything about fire code. I signed up to play with the building. Well, that took me somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so
it also took you into knowing that your floor will now support the weight.
That's right. I have an engineer who said that we can walk on the floor.
Well, why don't you tell the folks some of the things you've already done in the building? Because we've had the luxury of kind of, you know, sure. seeing and having you explain what you've done so far. But go ahead and give us a kind of a walkthrough through your words, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it was a year ago in July that we were able to possess the building. And at that point, there were lots of walls up and all that. And so it was gutted. And I just worked with some students and a couple of carpenters. And we started discovering what was really in this place, which is a beautiful, honest building. We stripped the plaster off the walls to reveal the brick. In the corner, there's a kitchen is half done now. The first thing that we had in the building, event-wise, was the store for the bicentennial celebration here in Greenville. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. Set it up. Was that, Brian and Ethan, was that what we were working on when we... or was it the Art Walk later? Yeah, later that summer we did the Art Walk. So those two events we were allowed to do just kind of as it was kind of grandfathered in.
Well, let me stop here for just a second. We do have a studio audience today.
We do.
Yes, we do.
Which was completely cool, to, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we mentioned last week on the episode, who knows what will happen? We may have a live studio audience one day, and here we are the following week. Yeah. Ta-da.
So we got here today to find that Rick is actually enjoying one of his interterm classes in the building this afternoon. Yeah. So,
yeah. Interterm is a three-week-long session that Greenville College has done. And when I moved to Greenville in 1978, I came straight off the campus of Seattle Pacific University, where I'd been in student development there. But I discovered something here at Greenville that was really, I thought, magical. And there was a sense of community, and the learning was dynamic. And one of the things I quickly learned is they had this thing called interterm, which were experimental and experientially oriented courses. We've struggled to keep it that way because if you let students get a course out of the way, which I say, if I ever hear one of my students say, I'm going to get that course out of the way, I just am going to go punish them in some way. Because their job, our job, is to help students get their education right smack in the way.
Oh, I love that.
You shouldn't take a course in college that you're not excited about. I had a student who, his senior year, took English 101, back then we called it.
Yeah.
Well, he finally got to the place where he wanted to write correctly, and he wouldn't have learned anything taking it as a freshman. But so fortunately, Greenville College has what's called the Individually Tailored Educational Program. You can actually write your own major. And so I gravitated to that in a hurry. And I think I told you about my friend Andy Mills, who majored in storytelling and took courses like the Gospels, because Jesus was a great storyteller, but also took dramatic interpretation and took history courses, etc. But all under this concept of him and his desire to thrive as fully as he could, had to bring it under the rubric of storytelling. The first job that he got out of college was as a storyteller for Franklin Graham, Samaritan's Purse. Mm. Needed somebody who would go into the South Sudan, live with people, and he said, and then come out and tell their story. And I said, and so what did you major in, young man? Well, I majored in storytelling. So the magic of that is what's continuing to drive me. Now, I had no idea a year and a half ago that I would be retiring. So at the end of the year, when I retired, all of a sudden I had more and different resources available to me. And so I began to think, well, maybe this project that I'm working on downtown here between Adam Brothers, and we got to talking to Jess Adam about, hey, Jess, how about if we do something in the Masonic? And I said, why don't you do like Adam's After Dark and come over and serve coffee and you have event? Well, Jess was in the middle of a life change. Mm-hmm. And he's now the drama coach at the college. An hour ago, I was over at Adam Brothers Coffee. There was Jess playing the piano and doing a voice lesson with a young thespian.
Isn't that cool?
So that's great. But when I started asking, well, does anybody want to do this, own this coffee shop? The college was saying, no, we don't want to get involved in that. My own church said, no, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And suddenly I discovered that the people it made sense to were my three children, you know, who said, yeah, we'd go for that in a minute. So what I've been measuring over there is, well, do we make enough money to keep the doors open? Barely. But are they thriving? Mm-hmm. And if you go in there and talk to Kelsey or Matt or Jared, it's obvious that they're thriving. So that compass point keeps us involved there. The question has always been, and should that enterprise move in here to this one and be kind of be the anchor or the flagship sort of business for driving traffic in this space? And that's the actual question that this class is asking. We're at the point of opening this place up and doing doing events. And so they are actually going to pull off, not the first events, because you guys are that. after the art walk and the bicentennial. So we've discovered it's a great place on the square here for people to just to come in and out. So in trying to present what are we doing, I've had to deal with a couple things. One is to not just make something up. I mean, the day that we took it over and all that, people at like the Greenville Advocate, well, what are you going to do? And the answer is, well, we're not sure yet. And that's very difficult for people to deal with. But I've discovered that not doing stupid stuff is sometimes more helpful or more significant than doing something really cool. Because sometimes you'll set something in motion that you can't get out of. Mm-hmm. And so moving a little bit slower, for me, works.
And I think in that process, you find people that you might not have known you could have called upon for assistance.
That's correct.
Or like your students will have input that they would not have been here a year ago to do. So it's, and even with our magazine, we didn't know when we started that we were going to have this connection with writers that would volunteer to write. A lot of them have become columnists and friends and supporters in many ways of the magazine. It was our hope that would happen, but it took a life of its own, and it's mm-hmm. been really great to see the benefits we've received from the magazine that we didn't anticipate. And I think that's kind of what you're saying too.
Yeah, that and then when you're talking to people about, all right, who should partner with you, and it becomes obvious if there's resistance, and then there's just all of a sudden there's a connection like that. And Dawn, I think the first time I talked to you, I just knew that there's something here that that we have in common that's going to move towards something. And that's what I learned in teaching this course. I had my students, first time I taught it, I said, all right, what did you learn about church in the city? And I think we've been to Chicago and Seattle and a number of other places. It was two things, that if you're going to do something in the city's so large you can't be all things to all people, but you can't be a commuter. You can't come in to the city and give your answers and then commute back
home. Hit the road, right.
You mm-hmm. have to live and be present. Well, that's what I learned in doing art, was all art was learning to be present to material. The show that the installation that my son and I did back in 1999 was really my effort at trying to correct my lack of presence when I toured the Holy Land, because I had an expectation of what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not where Jesus was born. You know, that's not what it ought to look like. It should look like a manger or something. It shouldn't look like a nice tiled star in a church. And so because it didn't come in exactly the form I wanted, I had a little hard time connecting. And that's where I connected with some icons. And so I decided all I did was start tracing over them as a way of being present. So for me, one of the things that was attractive was, I wonder how my life and perspective will change if I move off of the campus where I have an office and where everything tends to be inward looking, and go put my rear end down on the square or over at Adam Brothers. It's a totally different mm-hmm. perspective already. I meet different people. I walk out. I'm in the middle of a business community. I'm not in the middle of an academic community. I'm forced to think differently.
Yeah, the goal is commerce.
Yeah,
you know, in the business community, and you go, oh yeah, mm-hmm. they make money at this, don't they?
Yeah.
And like you say, not only commerce, but commerce with a mission.
Mm-hmm.
We did that with the magazine. You're doing this with the building. And, you know, if you love what you do, what do they say? You never work a day in your life if you're doing what you love.
Yes.
Well, sometimes it's still work when you're tired, but it's but you don't mind it in the same way.
No, the effort. I mean, you have. Yeah. People say, you know, I've retired. I work harder now than ever, but it isn't. It's not drudgery.
Right.
And somebody asked me, well, what is it like at the coffee shop? I said, well, it's a lot like being on vacation. And that's you spend a lot of money to get your kids together, and then you got to figure out what to eat. And most of our vacations are all about making meals for a group of people. Yeah. So vacation has always been work, but in the right way. How many people get to spend time like I do on a day-by-day basis with the people that you love?
Mm-hmm.
And that's our
funnest vacations have been being in the car together, driving to San mm-hmm. Diego and back.
Yeah,
because our kids live there.
Because our kids live there. You know, we've got the anticipation of going where we get there, and then we get to be together going back. Mm-hmm. So.
And we cover, stops at locations that our readers would appreciate knowing about. So it's that business and pleasure kind of thing that makes it ideal.
So we coined the phrase, Jan drives the journey, I drive the car.
There you go. Yeah.
We found out it works pretty good that way.
Well, and my wife is still working, but she's been vitally involved in seeing things. That it's always great to have somebody who's not right there in mm-hmm. the muck kind of walk in, and she sees things. And she also has always paid attention to, okay, what's that doing to my husband? Is he thriving? Mm-hmm. And so discussing that, and then what's happened to us, because we do a lot of driving around stuff. Now we stop at coffee shops. Mm-hmm. And we look and say, oh, man, isn't that amazing? Look how cool this looks. And all they're doing is storing their product out here where everybody's sitting. But it looks really
And if you ever get to Chillicothe, check that coffee shop.
Okay.
Out. All right.
The Mother Road.
The Mother Road.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Mother Road.
The Mother Road, yes. Because we did a Route 66 trip out to California, and we learned a whole heck of a lot like that. But it was fun. And we did the same thing. You pay attention when you have a storefront of any kind or a business or building.
Yeah, you look at publications.
You do. We do look at publications and the way they're displayed and distributed, and, oh, that's a good sign or whatever, you know. So it does make a difference.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a moment here and say we're also sponsored by KNR Wireless. KNR Wireless is contact KNR if you live in the greater Effingham area, including Effingham, Dietrich, Hartville, Teutopolis, Siegel, Shumway, and Lilyville. They're at 1207 Network Center Drive in Effingham. Contact Nathan Dothaker at 217-347-5967.
Right, they are the official sponsor
of Creekside with Don and Jan.
There you go.
I knew where I was going.
So what else do you want to share with the building and your mission and vision?
We're about 2 minutes toward the end here.
Yeah, we've got...
The nice thing is doing this and discussing it with people forced me to sit down and write a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mission right now is to provide a hospitable place for human thriving through fellowship and friendship in downtown Greenville. And then the vision is to create a space on the Greenville City Square characterized by the light and warmth of hospitality through coffee, food, conversation, and gatherings of all sorts. It will become a thing of beauty in itself, and by virtue of that, a powerful force for human thriving that will extend far beyond its center in Greenville. So that's our vision. And then I enumerated five values: the value of hospitality, the value of entrepreneurship, the value of leadership and creating leaders partnership, and then finally, I guess I did say presence. So being present, partnering with people, but ultimately for the purpose of genuine friendship, which I think is transformative for anyone and for our culture and our society. So that's the vision and the mission. So the actual concrete examples of it are kind of open for negotiation.
Yeah, that's real. And I love the whole idea of thriving. Sometimes we busy ourselves with surviving.
Yes.
And we forget that important part. And, you know, that makes life worth living.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to invite Rick back from time to time mm-hmm. to discuss the process and the progress of what's going on here and what changes you might be able to, you know, put two hands up beside your eyes and look through the window up front here to
and right to now be it looks nosy. Like this class, you know, this is so we've talked with Don, and Don is actually depending on this group of people to tell him you know, what kind of furniture do we need, things like that to get these programs going.
Well, we're gonna have to make sure that Don gets either a copy of this or knows how to get to it. So we want him to hear the whole thing. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. Look at all the students here in the room. And it's nice to have you here. We had a chance before we went on air to share a little bit about what we do with them, and now we're learning what they do with us, and it's a good combination. So thanks for joining us, folks.
So for Creekside with Don and Jan, I'm Don.
And I'm Jan, and we'll see you next week right here at the creek.
You betcha. And we'll see you on Midweek, too, on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Y'all take care now. Bye-bye.
Good night.